Thanks for being with us. We're in our third Sunday in Advent, and I hope you've been having a great holiday season so far with Thanksgiving, now with Christmas coming up, and then just a week later we have New Year's, and sometimes there's celebrations, sometimes there's gatherings with your family and with friends. And in our home, we had all three of our adult children able to be home for portions of the holiday season, and it's looking like that's going to work out for Christmas too, so we're super excited. Because all of our children are sort of out of the house and in general and have their own jobs, careers, that sort of thing, or about to start them. So we're really excited to have some family gatherings in the coming weeks. And when we think of family, when you think of family, my guess is for most of us when we think of family, we think of our family of birth, right? We think of our literal genetic family in most cases. Along kind of like literal bloodlines, if you will. And that is what we typically think of as what makes someone part of the family. But of course, people become part of a family through things like adoption, through marriage, right? Through even cases where sometimes where there's just such a close connection that there's not a legal adoption, but you feel like you're part of the family. And, I've known friends, for example, and, you know, their parents, you know, almost treated me like I was part of the family. You know, I felt that way sometimes in terms of, yeah, come on over. And I'd come over and they'd be like, you want to eat? You know, like growing up, it was fun. So sometimes we really think of family that way too. But what about when it comes to God's family? Have you thought of that? Well, what does it mean to be part of God's family? I'm guessing that interests you, because whether you had a great or difficult family experience growing up, my guess is that you also want to be part of the family of your Creator, the family of God. How do you become part of God's family? And how can you know if you are part of God's family? We're going to consider these things and more in a very short passage this morning. In Luke chapter 8. We're going to look at verses 19 through 21 here in Luke 8. But before we do, please join me in prayer. Lord, teach us your ways that we might walk in your truth. And though this is a very brief instance in the ministry of Jesus, there's actually some very profound and powerful things that you say here that are important and relevant for us. So we ask you to teach us your ways, Lord. We ask you to use your word today to impact our lives, to transform our lives more and more. By the power of your Spirit, love, grace, and truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's read it, verses 19 through 21. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Well, let's go through the details of what we see here in this short passage, which is going to bring us then to the primary point that Jesus makes. In verse 19, we're told that Jesus' mother and brothers came to him, but they were unable to reach him because of the crowd. And as Jesus had been teaching and doing his ministry, there was a great crowd that typically was developing where he went. We've seen that lately. We were told about this large crowd, for example, earlier in chapter 8, verse 4, just prior to when Jesus gave the parable of the sower. And now someone comes and tells Jesus, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside, desiring to see you." What would your response be if your mother and your brothers came to see you? Or if you didn't have brothers, maybe you had siblings, or even just your mother came to see you. Think about this. Chapter 8, verse 1 told us that Jesus had been traveling around through the cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. So it's likely that amidst his ministry travels, that he has not seen them recently, his mother and brothers, unless they happened to be in the towns that he went to. And now he's in this large crowd, so if he hasn't seen them recently, he's been traveling around doing his ministry, and he's traveling, he's somewhere else, and they actually are there too, and they want to see him. I mean, what would your response be? I mean, it would seem like, I think most of us would do whatever we could to see our family. perhaps even dropping everything we were doing right there and then, especially if they wanted, you know, they're requesting to see you. Like, is there a problem? Is it an emergency? Like, why are you here? You know, is there something you need to tell me? Is everything okay, right? I think most of us would be fairly interruptible and would, or if not, if we're in the midst of something pretty important, which he was in the midst of some things very important, we at least probably sent a message back to them, hey, I got to finish this up, but I'll be with you. How about we meet here after, you know, a certain amount of time? Let's meet in a certain place. But what does Jesus do? What he says next seems shocking, even, dare I say, disrespectful to his family. It seems that way on the surface. What's he say? He responds to the statement about his mother and brothers standing outside desiring to see him. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. I have some questions. Do you? Is Jesus brushing his family off? Not important, you know? And worse, is he denying that his mother and brothers are even part of his family? Like, you're not really part of my family. These folks are. Ooh. Is he saying that they aren't his family, rather the folks who hear and do the will of God are his family? If so, is Jesus implying that his mother and brothers do not hear the word of God and do not do the will of God? How are we to understand this seemingly insensitive and dismissive statement? Well, Jesus is not brushing his family off, though it certainly seems that way on the surface, doesn't it? Nor is Jesus denying that his mother and brothers are in his family and that they are important to him. Furthermore, Jesus is not trying to say that his mother and brothers do not hear or do the will of God. The point he's making is not to put down his earthly family of his mother, Mary, and his brothers. Rather, the point is to lift up or emphasize or highlight an even more significant reality of who the family of God is. And in a sense, the prioritization of that in terms of long-term importance. So Jesus is not denying his relationship with his mother and brothers, nor is Jesus trying to be disrespectful. He's simply implying that people who hear and do the will of God are part of his family in a spiritual sense. And that this family is most important. Now, not in a way that, you know, means that you can't prioritize your earthly family. He's not saying that. And again, it seems that way on the surface. So he's not trying to de-emphasize the importance of his earthly family. He's trying to elevate the significance of, here's something that has even more eternal value, the family of God. Recall earlier in Luke chapter 2, verse 41 and following, when Jesus was a boy, remember that? When Jesus was a boy and they're going to Jerusalem, which many people would do during the Passover. And, you know, when the Passover is over, you can imagine this kind of caravan of his family leaving. And Joseph and Mary realize, where's Jesus? I thought he was with you. Was it you? They actually don't say he was with you with one another. They thought he was with family, you know, extended family and acquaintances. Like, oh, I thought he was with the cousins, or I thought he was over here. And they go a whole day's journey before they realize, where's Jesus? You ever had that happen when you were a kid? I mean, unfortunately, Jesus is about 12 years old at this point. But still, right? You travel a day journey from Jerusalem, like out in the middle of country, and people would travel in caravans often, by the way, because of the danger of travel alone on the roads back then and stuff. So they're kind of like, you know, is he with you? Is he with you? Is he with you? They're asking around and they can't find him. And so they go back to Jerusalem, and where do they find him? He's in the temple and he's interacting with the expert teachers of the law. He's interacting with the religious leaders. He's asking them questions. And people are amazed at Jesus' wisdom, his understanding, the questions he's asking, the way he's interacting with these, you know, doctoral type when he's, 12 years old? What, like middle school type? You know? And when Mary comes up to Jesus once they find him, she says this. She says, son, why have you treated us so? Meaning, her and Joseph, like, why have you treated us so? Like, you didn't tell us what you were up to. You stayed behind. You didn't come with us. Like, why would you treat us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. You remember what Jesus said to them? He said, do you not know that I had to be in my father's house? What father is he talking about? Joseph? His earthly parents? No, he's talking about his heavenly father. And his heavenly father's house is the temple where Jesus has been. There's plenty of parallels in that passage with this one, which is why I brought it up. Because Jesus is acknowledging his relation to Mary and Joseph. He's not denying that. He's not denying or dismissing that. He's simply emphasizing, in this example again, the prioritization of a greater, more significant spiritual family. Jesus refers to his father's house, his heavenly father's house, the temple, indicating that the greater family is the family of God. Now recall, Jesus' mission was to proclaim and bring the kingdom of God, and a major aspect of that involved teaching people. And in Luke 8, Jesus has been teaching people, and he does this here, even in this example. And the teaching that he provides is, he says that the people who hear and do the word of God are, in this spiritual sense, his mother and his brothers. Because the family of God that matters, the family that matters most is the family of God. They are connected to him in an intimate relationship, a family relationship in the family of God. Well, how do we become part of this family? We see the answer to this question in what we can state as the real point of the whole passage. If we had to sum up the primary point of this passage, I think we could express it this way. The Word of God can lead us to becoming part of God's family if we hear it and do it. Now, I want to say up front, like, even when I wrote that, I was like, okay, I need to make sure that people hear that what I'm not saying is that you do things to earn your way into the kingdom of God. You do things to earn your way into the family of God. But the rather we hear it in the sense of receiving the word of God, responding to it rightly, and the end result of that will be doing the will of God. So it's not doing the will of God that saves you, but doing the will of God is a right result that will come forth from receiving the word of God. So first of all, to hear and do the word of God means receiving the word of God, not rejecting it. Because the opposite of receiving and hearing the word of God is rejecting it. Because the idea of hearing here is to hear with a sense of receiving it and it impacting your life, like the seed that falls in the fertile, the good soil that bears fruit. So it means responding to the word of God that way. It means responding to the word of God by holding it fast in an honest and good heart that results in bearing fruit, as we also saw in the passage prior in the parable of the soil. It means not just listening to the word of God, but loving it and living it out. Jesus made the same point in his teaching earlier. Let's look back at Luke 6. And I love how we see the contextual things in Luke that are parallel. Like I just showed you the Luke 2 parallel to this, and now I want to show you something from Luke 6. You'll recall this from just a few weeks ago when we were there. Everyone, Jesus speaking, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. God wants us to be people who hear the word of God and do it. This means receiving his teaching, receiving his will, not rejecting it. God's word, the teaching of Jesus, is not to be like a lamp that is covered up or put under a bed, but rather it is to shine on a lampstand, as we saw last week. And when we do this, we demonstrate that we are part of God's family. Doesn't make us part of God's family doing the will of God, but it demonstrates that we're part of God's family. The Word of God, at its very center, the most central part of the Word of God, is the good news of the gospel itself. And that is what leads people to become members of the family of God. So let's personalize it. Are you in the family of God? How can you know? Well, you can know by answering this question. Have you received the gift of the gospel? Have you received the main message of the Word of God, which is a gift? It's a gift. Coming into God's family, then, is a gift. It's not something that any of us can earn by being good enough. In fact, we can't be good enough. None of us are able to attain to God's perfect standard of righteousness on our own. We need Jesus. In fact, there's nothing we can do to earn our way into God's family other than to receive by faith that Jesus makes it possible for us to be part of it. And Jesus did this how? By living his life without any sin, being fully God, fully man, dying on a cross where he takes our sin upon himself and rising from the dead. And in doing so, Jesus pays for our sins in a way that we cannot pay for them ourselves. And he rises from the dead to give us life, to give us new life, and to give us eternal life. And we must have his forgiveness. We must have received his forgiveness to be part of God's family. But if we receive it, we are part of God's family. Knowing this identity, I want you to think about that this morning. What difference would it make in your life if you truly knew and truly believed in your heart of hearts, and that truth that you believe, not just here, but it's there and it functions in your life. Like you're aware and you remind yourself, I am really a child of God. I am really part of God's family. What difference would that make in your life? I think it would make a profound impact in your life. Because see, when you know who you are, it impacts how you see yourself. And when you know who you are and it impacts how you see it yourself, it impacts how you live. It impacts what you do. Family members of God live and do the Word of God. So remembering your identity as a family member motivates you to live like what God wants for his family. Hearing and doing the Word of God demonstrates then the reality of our faith, the reality of our membership in God's family. Let's pray. Father, thank you. In this short passage, you have a profound point. And the profound point is that the greatest family of all is your family. And regardless of our family experience, whether it be a wonderful one or a difficult one, the wonderful promise is that we can all be part of the most important family, the most significant family, the eternal family of God. And Lord, for those of us who have an earthly family that we can look back on and be thankful for, we give thanks for them. And we don't want to be dismissive of them. We want to prioritize them. We want to love them well. But remind us from this passage today that the greatest family of all that we can be a part of is your family. And we can be a part of that because of the wonderful gift of your Son, Jesus. So may we be the people who hear the Word of God and do it by your grace for our good and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.